Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is...
Oh, look at him. He didn't even give me time. He didn't even breathe. I don't know.
I was on a roll.
What's wrong with me?
Do it again.
Start over. Hi. Welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. And Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They handle everything, turf, mowers, everything. You can get zero-turn riders. They even handle the Honda line of push mowers. I mean, so if you've got landscaping to do, go in and see them. They're soon to be your local steel dealer. Probably going to have one of the largest inventories of steel in the area. Once we get that all set up, we'll definitely be letting you know. Well, they're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off I-5 there between Oasis and Pine Grove. And you can reach them at 226-9226 or check them out online at papemachinery.com.
Spelled?
P-A-P-E Machinery.
A lot simpler than it sounds.
Yeah, it's not Peppy and it's not Pep. It's Pape.
No, and if you come up Twin View from the south side, you could pick up probably a refrigerator, could be some furniture.
Talk about that.
Twin View Boulevard is taking the place of the county dump, I guess.
It's easy just to dump.
You could build yourself an apartment right there on the side of the road, which I think is happening.
Yeah. So we're way beyond that.
Yeah, they're past that. Just don't get distracted by the free furniture on the side of the road. Yeah.
So go in and see them. Talk to the guys in there. They're very knowledgeable. And they'll get you fixed up.
Ta-da! And now, back to our guest, Peter Friedman. So... Before we take off and hit the trail here, I just wanted to point out that at the top of the page, there is a tab that is marked Islam. If you go to that and scroll through the shows, actually, they're all awesome, and we've had Mr. Friedman on before, and he is full of information. There is a book at the bottom of that page. Somebody asked us to repeat that. And the book is entitled It's All About Muhammad by Frank Burley. It is a brown cover book. There's a photo there. It links you to the title and where you can buy it and all that. It's readily available. It is a great read, and it gives you the ultimate biography of Muhammad. And once you understand how Islam got started and who started it, and I think that's something that you could even make the case for some of the people that are other religions that are kind of misled. When people say, are you a Christian, that means that you're a follower of Christ. Well, that means you know something about his life and you agree with the things he stood for. In Islam, I'm not sure how many people who practice that religion, I'm not sure how many of them actually know the history of the guy who started it, know the biography of the guy who started it. So go get a leg up on him and go read that. It's a fascinating read. I think you'll like it a lot. So there we go. There's our pitch for Frank. And Peter, where would you like to go at this point with our story?
Well, a few more examples of Islamic literature and that exemplifies the taqiyya and the lies and deception that we're told. We were talking about the hadith and the sayings of Muhammad that were sent in by everybody on 3x5 index cards. You know, I'm being facetious, of course. And when you go to the hadith, and you can look all this stuff up. I mean, it's all there on Google and whatever. But you go to one of my favorites here is Volume 4, Book 52 of the hadith. Verse number 177, where Muhammad tells everybody, quote, the hour will not be established until you fight with the Jews, and the stone behind which a Jew will be hiding will say, oh, Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me, so come and kill him.
Wow.
Volume 4, Book 52, number 220. Muhammad said, I have made victorious with terror cast into the hearts of the enemy. I mean, think about ISIS. You know, when you listen to this, this is exactly what they were following. Let's see. Under Tabari, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 97, Muhammad declared, kill any Jew who falls under your power. Tabari 969, killing unbelievers is a small matter to us. You go to the hadith of a gentleman named Ibn Ishaq, verse 327, it says, Allah desires killing them to manifest the religion. You know, it just, it goes on and on and on and on. There are also 109 separate verses in the Quran that say to kill the non-believers, you know, and refers back to verse 9, or book 9:29 that says, you know, just do whatever you want to with them until, you know, they pay the, either the convert, the extortion tax, or kill them because they're absolutely of no use to it.
Yeah, that's a, it sounds like a pretty peaceful religion.
It's all about the killing.
It's 1,400 years of BS about being peaceful. It's not peaceful. No, the only thing that's peaceful about it, again, is P-I-E-C-E. You know, and now I'd kind of like to segue into what goes on with Iran.
Yeah.
Iran used to be Persia. Okay, if you go back 100 years and further back, the Persians never want to be commingled with Arabs. They never want to be thought of as Muslims from a cultural standpoint. This is what's going on over there right now. These people are tired of with the Ayatollah and whatever it was. And it's interesting to look at the history of how Iran started the revolution in 1979. Initially, the Shah Reza Pahlavi, who was very, very in tune with the West, he tried as hard as possible to westernize Persia until 1979. Now, what happened in 1979, early 79, Jimmy Carter was the president, God help us, never met a terrorist he didn't like. Jimmy Carter denied the Shah medical treatment in the United States. And you can look all this stuff up. It's all there. And so what the Shah had to do was, the Shah had cancer, he had to go to Canada because Carter would not allow him to come into the United States. When the Shah died, Jimmy Carter, and I'd like to have his medical plan, his health care plan, I'll tell you, 95, keeping this SOB alive. You know?
Eat a lot of peanuts. That's
Ted Kennedy, you know? I'd love to have had his health care plan or have his health care plan that kept him alive with brain cancer for a year. Anyway, I mean, these people were just complete disasters for the country. Carter, after the Shah died, the Ayatollah Khomeini, who is not Khamenei, who is there today, he was a disciple of Khomeini. Khomeini was in exile in Paris and had been thrown out of Iran by the Shah for attempting to foment an Islamic revolution there and take over and create a theocracy. Well, what happened was Jimmy Carter, that SOB, sent an airplane, one of our airplanes, to Paris to pick Khomeini up and to install him in Iran.
I did not know that part. Yeah.
It's all there. Carter sent an airplane, one of our military aircraft, to Paris to pick up Khomeini and to deposit him to start the revolution in Iran in 1979. So everybody thinks about the Iranian hostages and how Reagan, you know, got them out and all the rest of it. But the start of all of that was under Jimmy Carter getting Khomeini out of France and over to Iran. Okay, and at that point, you know, this whole nonsense started with Islam as a theocracy in Iran. Under the Shah, women were not wearing veils. They were not wearing the niqab or the burqa. At that point, the men over there and the guys were not wearing beards. All right, this all came in as a result of Khomeini in 1979.
And that's when they went, you know, full primitive, went backwards, and everybody had to get, I mean, the slightest thing, and you were being stoned and having your hands cut off, and you got to see life through a tiny slit in your little face shield. Got to take a really quick break here. And I'm going to pervert a great American song here for the purposes of our show on Islam. Just for you, Peter, I'm going to do that. So you're listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Mama doesn't like me very much today.
No. Muhammad is not looking down
not
favorably
a, not
on,
a happy camping.
On Aaron Ryan.
Peter Friedman, you bring out the very best in us. Okay. Back to the story.
Hopefully. Okay. Back to the Iranian situation.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Iran, the population of Iran, are basically what are called Shiites. They comprise about 10% of the worldwide population of Muslims, the balance being Sunni Muslim. Okay, Sunni, to make this simple, think of Sunni as the basic day-to-day, not necessarily a super religious Orthodox. The Shiites, on the other hand, are super religious Orthodox. And the difference is because after the death of Muhammad in 632, and this is all in Ralph's book, after his death in 632, there was obviously this fight, okay, to see who was going to succeed him. The obvious successor was his son-in-law named Ali. The problem was that Ali was assassinated. Now, in Iran, you will have the mosque of Ali and theoretically the grave of Ali. So the Shiites have always believed religiously, not secularly like the Sunnis, but the Shiites have always believed religiously that the successor to Muhammad should be in the bloodline of the family of Ali. The Sunnis, on the other hand, are more religiously secular, saying that the individual who is going to succeed Muhammad in the Islamic world should be there by election or by some other method, as opposed to just being in the bloodline. Okay, so this is where this argument comes in between the Shiites and the Sunnis, and if they're not trying to kill the non-believers, then they're trying to kill each other. Mm-hmm. If you remember your geography, Mecca, which is the holiest place in Islam, is located in Saudi Arabia. Well, the Iranians and the mullahs in Iran, of course, religiously feel that they should be the protectors of the holiest site in Islam and not the corrupt Saudis. So that's where you have all of this conflict that goes on between Iran and Saudi Arabia. And then the Saudis, I mean, it wasn't Saudi Arabia during the time of Muhammad, it was just Arabia, you know, but the Saudis are really secular to the point that when I was over in Oakland Airport and running an operation over there, and we used to have Gulf Streams come in from Saudi Arabia, and the minute the door opened, all of a sudden the robes came off the men, and the towels on the heads came off, and here they were in Armani suits, and getting off the airplane and climbing into limos. The women who, you know, were wearing hijabs and stuff while they were flying in the airplane, all of a sudden those came off, and here are the Coco Chanel outfits that they're wearing. And I cannot tell you how many cases of Johnny Walker we loaded into the pit of the airplane before it took off. So
these were Sunnis, correct?
These were all Sunnis. These were all Sunnis from Arabia, Saudi Arabia.
Okay,
so they have a whole different paradigm in Saudi Arabia with the king, the crown prince. There's 4,000 members of the royal family. They've all got Gulf Streams flying all over the world, palaces and stuff like that. Well, you don't find that in Iran with the mullahs, okay? All right, so Iran has always wanted to, since 1979, be the protectors of Islam and to get rid of the Saudis and to take over Saudi Arabia so that they could be the protectors of the two holiest sites in Islam, which, of course, is Mecca, number one. Medina would be number two. And we don't even count Israel because that's a complete deception. In all Islamic literature, Muhammad never set foot in Israel, never set foot outside of Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula. And this whole nonsense with the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock and the Golden Mosque and everything, that's all just obviously put up stuff here. Again, you got to read Frank's book. But it's all based on a dream that Muhammad said that he had, where he ascended on a white horse from the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem to sit at the right hand of Allah and Gabriel, and then he was put there. It was a dream. It was an epileptic fit. I mean, it's all of this thing. It's all, you know, man-made.
Well, there's another theory to that, Peter, and that's he was abducted by aliens and taken up into the sky and taught all these things to come back.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I'm sure that's happening simultaneously somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, and the aliens, you know, were the ancient Gabriel, and this could be part of another show with you guys, but, you know, if you know, you ever seen a Mormon temple?
Yeah.
Okay. We can talk about the angel Gabriel and Moroni and that's another whole thing that, you know, is beyond belief if you look at it, you know, squarely in the historical face. Anyway, so it's the difference between history, fact, and faith. You know, faith is what you can't prove.
Sure.
You know, so we don't want to be like Joe Biden and say we don't want facts, we want truth.
Oh, I thought we were going straight for the golden hair on the leg petting.
Whew. Ooh, don't go there.
That was a close call.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. This year is going to all be pay-per-view.
It's
going to absolutely be pay-per-view. So, anyway, the whole Iranian thing, and everybody makes this big deal about the Iran nuclear deal.
Yes.
Download it and read it. It's BS. It's just a big load of crap.
The other thing about that, about the Iran deal, is that the people who live in the U.S. that have basically taken refuge here for a lot of years. I mean, they didn't just come here last week. They've been here for a long time. And they consider themselves Persian. They're a lot, I don't know if everybody is, but many are part of the Organization of Iranian American Communities. And they are looking for the overthrow of the mullahs and the return of their country to back when things were normal. And I remember having those guys on during that time period when the Iran deal was happening, and they said if they give them this deal and they give them the amount of money we think they're going to give them, basically all of our relatives that are being held over there as political prisoners will be executed. It'll just be a wholesale slaughter of all the people who oppose the regime, which is exactly what happened.
Well, and let me expand on that just a little bit. The Iran, everybody keeps talking, especially Donald Trump, God bless him, about how there's a sunset provision and an expiration in the deal. And it's a very short-lived deal. It's short-lived because that's what's required by the Quran. The Quran basically says, do not enter into any treaty or agreements with non-believers that lasts more than 10 years, and it is a way to have an armistice, if you will, or a halt or a lull in the fighting between Dar al-Islam, Dar al-Harb, until the Muslims can attain a superiority in military.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason to do a treaty. Otherwise, keep killing them if you're winning. So the whole thing, you'll never find any agreement or any treaty that comes out of Iran that is longer than 10 years. The Iran nuclear deal, which is garbage, I mean, just total garbage, all right, which is why it was never given to the Senate to ratify, because they never knew, they never would have done it. That whole deal sunsetted in 8 years, and it gave them all of this time to continue with their ballistic missile program, to figure out how they were going to put warheads on missiles. And thank God for Trump and the people that are around him that obviously must have explained this to him. You know, every time I see some of these other people on TV and on some of the drive-by channels, and they're talking about this stuff, and they have total cranial rectal inversion.
You know, on that happy note, you can ponder that while we celebrate capitalism here at We the People. We'll be back with our guest, Peter Friedman. It is, let's see, Sunday afternoon, the 19th of January, 2020, just in case this replays at some other time and you wonder why we're talking about this. It already happened. It happens sometimes, we replay. So you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What the games people play now. Every night and every day now. Never meaning what they say now. Never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers. Till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la da da.
Talking about you and me and the game. Now, on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round and they gazed in wide wonder. The joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone.
Mohammed really inspired a large selection of modern music. A lot of music.
Yeah, he did. They made a lot of songs about him.
By the way, it's halftime and Kansas City's leading 21-17.
Is that good?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Oh, yeah.
We're just celelebrating that we didn't go to the McGregor fight last night that lasted 40 seconds.
Yeah. That pay-per-view is expensive.
We went over to Republican headquarters, and it's like, why is this parking lot full? Like, the only thing open was, like, a tattoo shop and a sports bar. It's like, well, who's packing them in? Somebody's packing them in. So we drove through the parking lot and went over by the sports bar, and you can see on the screen, it's like, oh, that's right, it's the McGregor fight tonight. So Bill just checked a little while ago. We were like, maybe we should go in.
Yeah, it was already over.
It was over.
Oh, for God's sake.
So we know about that. We just didn't know about the other game. So thank you for
the other game. I'm not really a basketball fan, so I don't follow that too close.
Nice. What a chucklehead. All right, back to Muhammad.
All right.
Okay.
But
so
when you talk about this stuff, you kind of have to joke around. Otherwise, your head explodes. I mean.
Well, this is very true.
Yes.
Okay, so essentially, you know, see if you can get a weekend workshop together. I'll be happy to come up there.
That'd be fun.
We'll have a lot of fun. Anyway, so you understand the Iran situation here. Iran takes, obviously, the mullahs take all of the religious obligations that we were reading the last hour as gospel. I mean, because again, the number one question has to be, do you believe that all of the words in the Quran come literally from God? The answer is yes. Well, then you got to do all these things. And this is all that ISIS was doing. They were taking this and they were translating what they were reading into action. So let me talk a little bit about jihad, okay? Because that's something that gets thrown around all the time, and yes, Iran is the largest state sponsor of terrorism, Islamic terrorism in the world, which they are required by religious obligation in the Quran to do. Okay, so people got to understand that. Okay, Islam has five pillars to it, and they're called the five pillars of Islam. Okay, the first one is acknowledging, it's called the Shahada. It's the acknowledgement that Allah is the one true God, Muhammad is his prophet. Now, if in the heat of battle at some point, and the Muslims capture you, and you say, okay, I'm going to convert, and I acknowledge that Allah is the one true God, Muhammad is his prophet, they're not allowed to kill you. The second pillar is that you have to pray five times a day. The first one occurs at sunup, the last one occurs at sundown, and that's where they're on the rug and they're doing the epileptic thing. The third is fasting, okay? So there are certain holidays like Ramadan in which you are required to fast. Theoretically, when you fast and don't eat, you're supposed to be thinking about all of the religious obligations. In my experience, you're thinking about eating. Because you're hungry.
Right.
The fourth one is what is called paying zakat. Now, I'll come back to that one for a minute. And the last is, once in a Muslim's lifetime, he should make the pilgrimage, if he can, to Mecca. And then he walks around the Kaaba seven times. The last time that happened, I think, there were something like 50,000 people that got trampled. Anyway, you can go on Google, you can see some YouTubes of people walking around the stone building in the middle of Mecca and what happens. Okay, what is zakat? Zakat is very interesting. Zakat, most Muslims will tell you, which is deception, taqiyya, is that it's charity. That's crap. It is not charity at all. There are eight forms of what are called zakat. And zakat, again, is the payment of money to fund these eight things that are defined in Sharia law and reliance of the traveler. One of which is that a Muslim is required on an annual basis to contribute to the cause 2.5% of their wealth, not what they made that year. It's not a tithe like in Mormonism of whatever your income was that year. It is 2.5% of a Muslim's total wealth annually. And they're required to send this over there to certain charities, which are really not charities, but they're money laundering operations here run by mullahs, in order to be, you know, considered a pious Muslim. One of the issues with that is that if you go on the web, and you're familiar with the Dow Jones?
Yeah.
Dow Jones Industrial Average. Okay. There is the Dow Jones Islamic Index. Hmm. Most people don't even know it exists. It's one of the things that was helped be created by Elena Kagan. You know who she is?
Oh, yeah.
Justice Kagan on our Supreme Court, who used to be the president of Harvard Law School, never appeared in court as a lawyer. And she's the one, years ago, in 2008, who put together a symposium at Harvard Law School and the Treasury Department called Islamic Finance 101. And from that, we wind up with the Dow Jones Islamic Index. And you will be fascinated by what you find on there and what Muslims own, not only worldwide, but in the United States. For example, Caribou Coffee, pods. You know, you see all these moving vans.
That, pods.
Yeah. Well, that's all Muslim owned.
No,
it's all financed by the Bank of Bahrain, who also, by the way, financed the Villages retirement community in Florida. So they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Okay, so what is zakat? Zakat is not charity. The Arabic word for charity is sadaqah. You may give sadaqah to non-Muslims. You cannot give zakat to non-Muslims because zakat is used per Sharia law to fund jihad and holy war. It is to buy armaments. Back then it was to buy swords, horses, shields, and things like that. That is what one of the five pillars is of Islam. Now, let's segue to the money that Obama gave to Iran. Does that kind of light a fire in you at this point?
Yeah.
2.5% of a Muslim's wealth, or 2.5% of a country's wealth, if it's an Islamic country, to fund jihad. It's one of the five pillars of Islam. You've got to start to connect the dots. Why did he give them $1.7 billion in cash on pallets, flying that money over there in unmarked U.S. government aircraft?
So who controls the money? Is it the mullahs that say where it goes?
The mullahs control every single dollar. The mullahs are the ones who financed Soleimani. Soleimani should have been taken out years ago. We stopped Israel from taking Soleimani out half a dozen times under Obama.
Hmm.
How many American lives would have been saved? You know?
Countless.
And this stuff just goes on and on and on, and people, they just don't want to believe it. They don't want to hear it because they hope the alligator will eat them last. Now, you take the Arab Spring, which actually turned into an Arab nightmare, starting with Hillary and Libya and Gaddafi and all of the rest of these things that occurred and the refugees coming out of Syria. Thank God Trump put a stop to it, which he had the absolute statutory right to do, which the Supreme Court ultimately concurred with. It seems to me, and it's my opinion, that as the Democrat Party loses the black community more and more, they have to find another community to work with. And that's where all these refugees come in. This started, and I think we did a show about this, about the refugee baloney.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually started with Joe Biden and Ted Kennedy with Lyndon Johnson. You know, I'm waiting for somebody to come out and start accusing Joe Biden of starting this whole refugee stream, because he was the guy who, with Ted Kennedy, convinced Johnson to stay in Vietnam to create the Vietnamese refugee stream. Connect those dots. And then in 1976, when Joe Biden and Ted Kennedy convinced Jimmy Carter again, our buddy, to sign the new immigration bill, which allowed more refugees under Carter to come in. You have Clinton, who allowed all the Somali refugees to come in. That's how we got Ilhan Omar. You gotta go back and connect the dots before you can get a picture that makes sense. And then once you do connect the dots and you get that picture, you sit back and you go, oh man, we're in trouble.
Yeah, this has been getting played out for a lot of years. And
I've always
said they play an excellent long game, and that's what's been happening.
Wow. Well, the Muslims have always said that the West has the watches, but they have the time.
Yeah. I like that.
And this is a long game. And Ronald Reagan, who I was one of his two pilots in 1979, used to say all the time that this country is one election away from turning the other direction.
Yeah, no kidding.
It almost happened with Obama.
And this one is
with Obama.
Hard to believe, but it's actually more critical. Got to take a really quick last break here, and we'll come back for the rest of the hour with our guest, Peter Friedman. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break into?
That was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion, trying to keep up with you, and I don't know if I can do it.
And we're back. Okay, so in less than 10 minutes, besides the fact that we're definitely doing a seminar, so, you know.
Yeah, we need to put that together.
Start checking your tires and get the oil changed and whatnot so you can scurry on up here.
No problem at all. I just want to let you know that you had my website, IslamThreat.com, on your page.
That was a question because it malfunctioned.
Yeah. No, I had to take it down because I got too many death threats after the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they're in infinite wisdom, decided to consider my website one of the six Bay Area hate groups.
Nice.
Yeah. So
have you ever canceled an event because of death threats, Peter?
Nope, I just wear my ballistic vest.
Okay.
Well, I wondered about that, the Islam Threat website, and so I clicked on it. Oh, boy. I got, like, 90 pages opened up of warnings and all this weird stuff, and I thought, great, I just hijacked my own computer. I'm an idiot. So I was going to ask you if there was a change of site, or you just the whole thing is down right now?
No, the whole thing is gone.
Okay. Dang.
I had too many, I had too many, people who...
We're requesting religious peace information?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
where am I going to be and when? I used to post my lecture schedule on there and everything, and wound up having to take that down. And then the last event that I did was down there in Fresno, and I actually had six guys from Blackwater who provided protection, and my wife put her foot down and said, "No, that's it."
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you got to look out for yourself.
Well, I know when we tried to do that Eagle Forum thing, magically all the emails between the two of us disappeared in my computer back to 2018.
Interesting.
Yeah, they just went away. So that was awesome and super helpful.
Well, I am more than willing to come up there with you guys and do a weekend seminar, just a workshop, and go through. You know, we start out with the PowerPoint on the origins of the Quran, which will absolutely blow everybody's mind where that came from. It started out with the ancient Egyptians and the moon and the crescent moon and the whole. It's fascinating when you look at it, which is why in the beginning in book one of the Quran, it specifically states, and it's one of these shorter chapters, it's only like three verses, and it says, "Hey, if you criticize the Quran, we're going to kill you."
Yeah.
So, you know,
and you know, I think a lot of those threats you have to take seriously. You really do, because they're fanatical.
Yes.
And so
they're religious obligations, and again, like we learned today by just reading the words from the book, you know, there are religious obligations to subdue, kill, and subdue any non-believer, you know, until they pick, you know, door number one, two, or three. So who do you trust? How do you trust?
Right.
There is no trust. So
yeah, it's that part is a super dangerous business and nothing to be trifled with, obviously.
So Peter, where do you see this Iran thing going in the next, say, a few weeks? I mean, do you think they're pretty much done with their threats and they're going to continue on their path?
Oh, I think so.
I think so, too.
I
don't think they're stupid.
They understand that there are going to be some serious consequences and that, you know, they're going
to... Uh-oh.
We'll have to get him back in just a moment.
Yeah, I don't think the mullahs are.
It's happening
again. I think they're crazy, but they're not stupid, and I think they realize if they do strike out, the ramifications would be disastrous for them.
Oh yeah, but they'll still tell their own guys that, you know, all the things that they're doing to.
Oh yeah, that they won the battle. They'll have to do it with a ham radio out of a cave somewhere. But
remember Baghdad, Bob?
Yes.
No American tanks will be in Baghdad. And then on the TV behind them, here we are rolling through town. You know, the Egyptians. Yeah. If you remember the 67 war, and the Egyptian news media as. The Israelis were totally wiping out the Egyptian Air Force in the Sinai on the ground. And we have downed all of these Israeli fighter jets. I'm going to get, oops.
Or not.
Well, this is breaking news. Yeah, no, you can't believe it.
It's Takiya.
Right? Takiya. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bill, you missed your cue. You know. So Bill's in the background. He's supposed to be going, Takiya, Takiya.
Yeah.
Takiya. Anyway,
I don't understand. I mean, I do on one level, but I can hear people out there thinking, why does anybody fall for this? I mean, how does this remain a worldwide religion? Is it just hardcore brainwashing? Not that we're ever going to know, but what's your guess?
They want to be eaten last. It's the alligator theory. And there's so few people today, especially in the United States. I mean, we're not tired of war. We're tired of not winning.
Well, we're not fighting to win in a lot of cases because we're not allowed to.
Exactly. We have not won a conflict since World War II. I mean, when I was over in Vietnam, we were pissed. Let us do our job. This is how, thank God, Trump came in. Took the rules of engagement, threw them in the trash can to get rid of ISIS and said, hey, what are the Marines for? They're out there to kill people and break things.
Yep.
Go do it, get it over with, and come back. That was the Roman theory. That's where the word decimate comes from. If you screwed around with the Roman legions, the legion blew in a town. They lined all the nails up there. They counted every tenth nail. That's where the word decimate comes from. And they killed them. And they said, don't make us come back.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it is.
The rules of war have gotten crazy in the last couple of decades. I don't understand it. But
we don't want to hurt civilians. Wait a minute. How did we win World War II? Let me think about that. Let's see.
We flattened their cities. We broke their back, and they could no longer wage war.
Well, the whole thing about not sidestepping all the civilians. That's when they started strapping bombs to little kids and their moms.
That's right.
I mean, war is ugly. Yeah, that was easy too. I mean, if you're a ruthless person and you have that many people really kind of mind controlled at that level, that was an easy switch over. Okay, great. We'll just strap these to little kids and those guys will never, you know, they'll never do anything about that. I remember my brother telling me when he was there in the 80s that that was a big thing to try to teach these guys how to drive these tanks and whatnot, because these women would stand out in the road. And they wanted to stop. I mean, obviously, they didn't want to run somebody over. But the problem was they had bombs strapped to them. So if they were in the road, they were literally a human bomb. Just brutal.
Yeah, we don't fight that
way. We just can't wrap our mind around that.
I wrote an article several years ago called The Psychology of Muslim Atrocity.
Uh-oh. We have to get out. Sorry, Sue was giving me the high sign, and I was looking at her over there flailing, and I blew her off. We had a little song here we're going to play for our friends in Virginia to cheer them on, and we will chat with you very soon, Mr. Friedman. Thank you so much for being on with
us
today.
Thanks for being on, sir.
My pleasure. Anytime.
You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns.